This morning, if you would turn to John 16 in the New Testament, that's where we're going to begin our journey this morning. When I was a sophomore in high school, my parents decided to move from our country farm home in Pennsylvania, in rural Pennsylvania, to Bridger, Montana. And our house was on the very edge of town, just this side of the railroad tracks. And you have to know, having grown up in a farm in rural Pennsylvania, I was a farm girl. And we moved to Bridger, Montana, and most of you probably say, "And where is that?" Well, it was like a population of 1,000. I suddenly was a city girl. I was very excited. But we lit our house. We had some acreage. It had some horses on it and barns. But we were just this side of the railroad tracks. Well, that train went by 10 or 12 times a day. And for some reason, I was very fascinated with it. And maybe it was because I saw that train as going places. And as a teenager in high school, I was very angry at my parents for moving me to Bridger, Montana. But anyway, I would look at that train, and every time the whistle would blow, I would run to go see this train go by. And I would count the number of cars on this train. I have no idea why, but I would do this every single time. No matter where I was on our property, that whistle would blow, and I would run to count the cars. But the longer we lived there, that novelty kind of wore off. And soon I never heard the train whistle. In fact, it could blow in the middle of the night, and I didn't ever hear it. Recently, Michael and I went to David City, another huge metropolitan area in Nebraska, to move my mother back here to Arizona. And I kid you not, if this is her back door, the train track was that back wall. And as we were packing my mother, the train went by and kind of rumbled the apartment. Michael said, "That would get really annoying." And I looked at him and said, "Nah, you just tune it out. You just begin to ignore it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I come to you nothing but a willing vessel. Father God, I have no message for these people. I have no word. I am dependent upon you, Father God, to bring a word to your people this morning. And Lord, I just desire to be your vessel. I need you to bring a word that is living, gives life to your people, convicts, changes lives. Lord, I lift this service up to you and ask you to flow through. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in John this morning. Chapter 16, starting with verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge." If you write in your Bibles, which you should, the only book you should write in, underline this next verse. Verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you." Underline that. "But you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And if you could just back up a page to chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus is telling his disciples he's leaving. And in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you. He hasn't completed telling them all the things he desires to tell them. But he's given us the Holy Spirit for those of us that call upon him to be Lord and Savior, who dwells in us. That Holy Spirit will teach us. That Holy Spirit will convict us. He will comfort us and he will guide us in truth. If we look at chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. He gives us that Holy Spirit. Today's world, we are surrounded by technology. Most of us have a computer in our home. Some of us have a computer that we take with us where we go. We have TVs that are these high-tech things. I don't quite understand them. But they're HD, flat screen. Some are 3D. I don't know. TVs can do more than what TVs could when I was a kid. We have iPods. We have electronic notebooks. And we have iPads. And let me ask you, is there one of you in this room that does not have a cell phone? Oh, Julia raises her hand. Dad? And in today's world, you know, it's just not enough to have a cell phone. You have to have a smartphone. And to be honest with you, I would rather have a smartphone than a dumb one. But all of these things we have to keep us in tune. We have them all to keep in tune. We want to know what's going on. We use these things to be connected with friends, to be connected with our work, to be connected with the world. You used to get a newspaper on your front doorstep so you could read the news today. It was a tragic event in our home when that kind of stopped. But because now Michael has to go to the computer to read the newspaper to find out what's going on. And as I was thinking on all of this technology and how we need to be connected, I recalled my trip a few years ago to Siberia. And we went to Siberia. There was a TV in our hotel room. Michelle and I decided that TV really was taking up space in our hotel, because neither one of us understood Russian, and so what would be the point of turning it on? So we unplugged it and put it away because it was sitting on a table that we thought we could use. So we put that TV away because we wanted our focus to be on God, to be on that mission trip, to be on what God was going to speak to us. All our attention focused on him. But as that trip wound down, and we went to Moscow at the last couple days, basically got to be tourists. We were checking into our next hotel, and in the lobby, Michelle and I both noticed there were TVs. And there was the British News Network. They spoke English. We got to our room, and what did we do? We flipped on that TV because we had been out of touch. We wanted to get connected again to the world. So we turned on the TV so we could hear the news and know what was going on in the world. We were going to be tuned in. You know, we all want to be tuned in. We all want to be connected. We want to be tuned into the world. We want to be connected to the world. I have a smartphone, and it receives my work emails. I can always, 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 no matter what time of day, be tuned into my job. And do you know what I discovered this last week? I am not a brain surgeon. Why do I need to be so connected to my job? I'm not out there saving lives at my job. But if that little light blinks in the middle of the night and I happen to roll over and my eyes catch it, I can't help myself but look at that stupid thing. I'm connected. I'm tuned in. Nothing's going to happen at my work that I am not aware of. We say we're followers of God. We read the Word every day. We spend time in prayer. We come to church. But I'm going to ask you, are you tuned in? Let's go to the Old Testament, to the book of Samuel. We're going to visit a story that I believe you all probably know. But I just want to revisit it this morning. We're going to be in Samuel, starting with chapter 1. 1 Samuel. Now we know the story of Hannah. And Hannah desired to have a child. But she could not. And she would pray to God to give her one. She would go before the Lord and she would weep. She wouldn't eat. She would cry out for God to give her a child. Year after year, she would make a trek to the tabernacle and plead with God. In 1 Samuel 1:11, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come to his head. God found favor with Hannah and blessed her with a son. And she kept him with her until he was weaned. And in this day, she would have probably had him till he was 5 or 6. She would have kept him a little longer. And then just as she vowed, she took him to the Lord and dedicated him. Samuel was raised in the house of the Lord. If we move forward into chapter 2, look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child. Further down in verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men. Here's Samuel. He's in the church. He's worshiping the Lord. I can imagine when they were praising the Lord, he was lifting his hands. He was worshiping. He was growing in the Lord. But was he tuned in? Let's jump ahead to chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. But it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Go lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Samuel had to tune in to know God's voice, to hear him speak. He needed some guidance from Eli to understand and listen for God's voice. Are you listening for God's voice? As new Christians, when we come to the Lord, we want to hear his voice. We want to hear everything. And then we want to tell everyone what we heard, too. New believers will come and say, God told me this, God told me that. They're so excited because they heard God's voice. Think back on your own walk and remember those times. But you know what I think happens to us? We grow very complacent. We grow very comfortable in this walk. And we begin to tune him out. John 14:26 told us, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, give us discernment. And the Word tells us that each of us have been given gifts. Each and every one of us sitting in this room, no matter what age you are, you have skills, you have talents, you have things you can contribute to the kingdom of God. And I am not talking about money. I'm talking about your talents and your skills. God's blessed you with those things. He's given them to you to build the kingdom, and yet some of us are willing to just sit there and not use them. Some of you are blessed with wonderful singing voices, and yet not use them. Some of you are able to play an instrument. Don't use it. Some of you have the gift of helps, but will not help a brother or sister. Some of you, we're all called to be servants. And many times we will not serve. But are you tuned into him when he speaks to you? I want to take you into Corinthians, back to Corinthians, and remind you of some of the gifts that he has promised you. In 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Doesn't say he's just giving it to one or two. He's giving it to all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And then if you look a little farther down in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. He's given us gifts. I ask you this morning, you come to church on Sunday, is that enough? You willingly give your tithe, is that enough? Maybe you faithfully attend prayer meetings, is that enough? Are you tuned in to what He is speaking to you? Or has time passed by and you've begun to learn how to tune Him out? Do you believe you're doing? Do you believe you should be doing more than what you are? What has His voice said to you? Are you even there when He speaks? Do you even know what His voice sounds like? I want you to ask yourself, am I being Jesus to the least of them? Do I show love? Or do I just show that love in this little click or circle that I'm really comfortable with? Do I show up when no one else bothers to? When I'm worshiping the Lord, am I worshiping the Lord or am I just singing a song? Do I live a life that shows I really love God? Are you holding back? Or worse yet, are you holding someone else back? We want to be asked by someone in the church to do things. We only want to serve where we can be seen. You know, brothers and sisters, if you're waiting for the pastors or the elders to ask you to do something, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. If you're only willing to serve where you can be seen and get recognition, you're going to miss out. You are going to miss out. If you only want to do what you can, if you only want to serve where you can be seen, let me tell you, God sees and He is the only one that matters. He sees and it matters. Right here in our church, here at Val Vista, there's a young man. He's 9 or 10. I get confused when they have birthdays. Comes to church. And for a long time, he would watch how I would set up the Harvest Kids room. And then he began to help me set it up. I never once asked him to do it. I now can come to church on Sunday mornings, whether I'm in that room or not. And that young man, 9 or 10 years old, sets that room up just the way I like it. Do any of you see that? No. Does it matter that you see it? No. That young man heard God speak. And that young man said, "Here I am." And for this season, God has him being a servant. He faithfully does it for absolutely no recognition. In most weeks, it's only God who sees. I want to share with you four keys to listening to God's voice to help you maybe get tuned in. Over my years in ministry, I've heard people come and say, "I don't know what his voice sounds like. I don't know if God is speaking." I sometimes have conversations with my own teenage children. How do you know it's God? How do you know? A few years ago, a little girl came to church camp and she said, "Miss Leah, I've never heard God's voice, and that's all I want this year at church camp." So she and I talked about listening for God's voice. And at the end of church camp, she came and said, "I heard his voice, and he told me I was special. He will speak to you. He doesn't care how old you are." Four keys. Number one, God's voice is in our hearts. Elijah described it as a still, small voice. Is God's voice always audible? No. He has spoken to me when I'm in the Word reading. He has spoken to me when I'm baking cookies. He has spoken to me when I'm in my prayer closet. His voice comes as thoughts a lot of times, visions, impressions. I want you to think for a minute. Each of you has had this experience or a similar one. You've been driving down the road and you have a thought. It comes, gets placed on your heart to pray for someone as you're driving. I could probably pretty much ask each and every one of you, you would say that was God telling me to pray for someone. We would agree. My question to you is, though, what did his voice sound like? Was it an inaudible voice, or was it a thought that lit into your mind? Most of us would say that God's voice came as a thought. The definition of paga, the Hebrew word for intercession, is a chance encounter or an accidental intersecting. When God lays people on our hearts for intercession, he does it through paga, a chance encounter. A thought accidentally intersecting our thought process. Therefore, when you tune into God, you can tune into having those encounters. When poised quietly before God in prayer thoughts that can come from God, you will hear his voice. Key number two, learn to still your own thoughts and emotions so that you can sense God. In the book of Habakkuk, he describes prayer, gives us some guidelines. In Habakkuk 2:1, it says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." Habakkuk knew that in order to hear God, he had to first go to a quiet place. He had to still his own thoughts in his own emotions. When your thoughts are racing, when you're so busy doing stuff, you can't hear from God. I, for years, have been telling our children and even our youth, when your mouth is going, it's a scientific fact you cannot hear my voice. So I can't believe that God can get through our chatter either. Psalm 46:10 encourages us to be still and know God. His word tells us, stop, be still, be quiet, listen. There's a deep inner knowing in our spirit that each of us can experience when we quiet our flesh and our minds. Sometimes we let our emotions, are so caught up in our emotions that we allow them to rule our lives. And we mistake those emotions for God's voice. Quiet, stillness. You can't hear him without it. Key number three. As you pray, fix the eyes of your heart upon Jesus, seeing in the spirit heart of the Almighty God. Habakkuk said, I will watch. I will keep watching. I will see. He knew to actually start looking for vision as he prayed. He was going to open the eyes of his heart and look into the spirit world and see what God wanted him to see. What he wanted him to show him. Have you ever thought of opening your eyes of your heart and looking? He's given you eyes in your spiritual heart just for that. They're to be used to see. There is an active spirit world functioning all around. Yes, there are demons, but there are also angels, the Holy Spirit, omnipresent God, and his omnipresent Son, Jesus. The most obvious prerequisite to seeing is that we need to look. Daniel, in chapter 7, was seeing a vision in his mind. He'd had a dream. And throughout that description, he says, I was looking, I kept looking, I kept looking. Daniel 7:1 says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Verse 2 says, Daniel spoke saying, I saw in my vision by night. In verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place. In verse 13, I was watching in the night vision. Daniel knew to look, to watch, to see. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us. Watch and see God revealed. And you might say, well, how do I know it's God? If it lines up with the word, it's God. If it doesn't, it isn't. Satan will cause you to doubt, so line it up. God continually revealed himself to his people using dreams and visions. He did it from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not making that up. It's in here. All through. And lastly is key number four. This one for me is a tough one because I may start this and then it gets pushed to the wayside. And that's journaling. The writing out of our prayers and God's answers can help you discern His voice. God told Habakkuk in 2:2, "When the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets.'" Write the vision. He told him to write it down, that he may run who reads it. Write it down. It's a biblical concept. God is present. He's speaking to His children. The Holy Spirit will move. But you've got to be able to tune in. You need to be still. You need to be quiet. You need to cease. In Hebrews 4:10 it says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." God rested. Turn your attention toward God in praise and worship and seeking His face. Fix your gaze on Jesus. He's going to present Himself to you. He's going to speak to you. And maybe it's time we set aside all those things that keep us tuned in. And brothers and sisters, I am talking to myself because I have them all. I have a desktop, I have a laptop, I have the smartphone, I have the iPod, I have the iPad, I have it all. So I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. And including, I have it all myself. We need to get on our face in that secret place, in that quiet closet, and get connected to the one and only thing that matters. We are so caught up in being connected to the world, and the world doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He matters. You need to be able to hear His voice. You need to be able to distinguish His voice. And be as Samuel. Speak. For your servant hears. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not enough to come to church on Sunday. It's not enough to willingly pay your tithe. It's not enough to attend prayer meetings. It's not enough, people. John 16:12 tells us, "I still have many things to say to you." Who was He talking to? His disciples. We are His disciples. He has something to say to you. He doesn't care if you are 12 or you are 95. He has something to say to you. And are you tuned in enough to hear Him? Or is it enough for you just to stay where you are? Is that enough for you? I'm going to open the altar. Yeah. If you do not know God, or anything that I have spoken about, this voice, today's the day to come forward. If you feel you've come out of tune with God and you want to get connected, come to the altar. Whatever your need is today, the altar is open. We're here to pray with you.